with the bluest water that Ryan had seen in a long time. It was still and placid, looking like a jewel's plain surface.
Water's heated, too. It must be linked to an underground stream somewhere.
How deep?
I couldn't find the bottom. You want to try?
Yeah. Maybe do a little laundry at the same time. Get some of these bloodstains out. Have you told the others?
Not yet. Felt kind of bad about it, too, but they're busy doing their thing. Figured we'd have time for all of us. Somebody has to go first. To test the water, so to speak.
All right.
Ryan made a neat pile of his clothing at the edge of the pool and stuck his gun out of sight between the folds. He put a foot in the water.
That's nice.
I know. I didn't want to get out once I got in. Had to make myself.
Ah. Oh. Easy to see why you'd have problems getting out. You coming in?
Ryan let go of the side and swam, exulting in the feel of the water against his body. He dunked under for a moment, following the stray beams of sunlight bouncing off the limestone wall and streaking down into the pool until he couldn't see them anymore.
It's not so deep over here, lover. Want to join me?
Ryan went with her willingly. From what he could see, the pool went mostly straight down to where it probably joined with an underground stream.
Now we're alone.
Christy reached out for him. Her breasts were only partially submerged and looked like pale globes in the blue water. Her pink nipples were high and tight. Ryan took her into his arms and pulled her close. They stood in what felt like loose sand. She kissed him hotly, and he could feel the need on fire inside her, matching his own.
Next time we'll go slower, but for now I want you inside me. Since I found this spot, I've been thinking about this.
She broke the embrace and pulled him toward the bank. At the edge of the pool, the water was only a little above knee-high. The air felt cooler now that he was outside the water, but just enough to prickle Ryan's skin without becoming uncomfortable. Christy pulled him against her, leaving her back to his front. Ryan felt his erection slide through her parted thighs, gliding against her skin. He pumped slowly, teasing her without penetrating. He cupped her breasts in his hands and squeezed them with just the right amount of pressure.
Don't wait. Now.
Ryan moved into her, thrusting forward, sinking his length into her. Christy meeting him stroke for delicious stroke. Ryan's orgasm welled up in him, and he held it back as long as he could. But Christy had to have felt it too, because she redoubled her efforts. They stood there on trembling legs, their passion spent.
Is that Jack's blaster?
Didn't you say he went hunting? Those aren't our blasters.
Mildred sat in the tall grass on the mountainside and watched Jack hunt. At least she tried to. The albino, however, was as elusive as smoke. She wore the coat she'd taken from the redoubt and wrapped her arms around her knees. It wasn't too cold, but she hadn't quite brushed off the chill she'd gotten from rereading sections of the journal she'd found. Drake Burroughs, U.S. Army, was one sick bastard. That was her professional opinion, as well as personal one. All morning long, she'd read of the murders committed by Burroughs and his people in the redoubt. Toward the end, there'd been mass executions, until Burrough had reduced the populace of the complex to a number he could easily control. Mildred was glad to be shut of him, and hoped it stayed that way. Down the mountainside, a deer appeared, only a few feet from the tree Jack had climbed into. He'd positioned himself over a watering hole formed in a depression in the mountain stone. Hoof prints and paw prints had offered mute testimony to the fact that it was frequented by the local wildlife. The deer was a male, showing an impressive rack as he raised his head, scenting the air, then moving in a little closer. Mildred watched tensely, hugging herself. She'd never really favored deer hunting back in the 20th century, but then a lot of hunters had stalked deer for trophies. Jack was hunting this one to feed them. It meant survival. The deer walked to the edge of the pool and froze, head cocked as he listened. Above him, Jack watched the sleek animal drop his muzzle to the water and start to drink. Jack dropped from the tree like a cat. One gleaming, leaf-bladed knife was in his hand as he fell. His free hand swung around the animal's neck and caught the chin as the buck raised his head. The deer fought to shake Jack off, yet the youth clung to him fiercely, avoiding the sharp-tipped horns that raked toward his face. Lying alongside the deer's back, Jack sunk the knife into his neck and severed the throat. Bright blood spilled to the ground as the buck continued to struggle to break free. Jack hung on, his face tucked up under his shoulder protectively. The life drained from the animal. His legs shivered and would no longer take the weight. Then the buck collapsed. The teenager pushed himself up from the deer. He wiped his knife in the grass nearby. Suddenly, he froze. He could sense something, like silent talons running down the back of his neck. He knew someone was watching him. In a flash, Jack drew his .357 Colt Python. Abruptly, green-garbed men scattered from the area, leaving one of their number sprawled on the ground, clutching his leg. Whoever his stalkers were, they were good, because they'd gotten to within 100 paces of Jack. As he charged up the mountainside, they quickly found positions behind trees and outcroppings. The return fire didn't force Jack to a halt. He just hunkered down and kept covering distance.
Get there!
Four of the green-clad men broke from their positions, all of them chasing Jack.
Shit!
Further up the mountainside, Mildred steadied herself against the nearest tree, her Czech-built ZKR-551 at full extension. One shot went through a man's face, and another sent a man spinning away. The other men dove to the ground. Jack had vanished. Mildred knew they had only a couple of minutes to make an escape before the attack party overran their position.
Damn!
She pushed away from the tree, already figuring out the path she was going to take to get back to the cave. She didn't think she had much of a chance of outrunning the men behind her, but she had to try. An attacker came out of the brush ahead of her with his pistol already raised. Without hesitation, Mildred's arm shot up. The man went over backward, blood gouting out the front of his neck. Two shots slammed in around her. Mildred immediately thought she'd been hit. But there was no pain, no numbness. Suddenly, a green-clad man dropped from a tree in front of her. He landed in a loose-limbed sprawl, the top of his head missing.
Thank you, Jack, wherever the hell you are.
The fear was working in her, feeding her adrenaline as the fight-or-flight instinct kicked in. She vaulted the dead man in front of her. Another man hurtled from the brush, driving a forearm deep into her side. It felt as though Mildred's rib snapped. She slammed against the ground, but managed to keep her fist tight around her gun. Blood spilled into her eye as she tried to roll over on her stomach and bring the .38 up at the same time.
I want her alive!
Then a foot came out of nowhere. An inky black cloud formed in Mildred's vision and took her away. Meanwhile, Jack spilled the empty casings from the .357 and slammed him a fresh six-round load as bullets continued chipping away at the tree and boulder he was using as shelter. He knew enough of a team had reformed to set a trap for him ahead. He glanced around and sized up the terrain. His position wasn't ideal, but neither was it without resources. He slid the .357 into leather and flipped the restraining thong over the hammer. Then he fisted one of the leaf-bladed knives and flattened back against the boulder, the knife low. A hunter came around the boulder cautiously, a bolt-action Remington in his hands. Jack batted the rifle barrel to one side with his free hand and slid up behind his attacker. The albino pressed the keen edge of his blade over the man's carotid artery. He used the man as a shield, blending into his back like another layer of skin.
Help me!
Move with me, not against. You choose against, you die.
Yes. Yes, by Luke Silverhand, I shan't try a thing. Just please don't kill me.
Like you didn't kill my friend?
I didn't kill her! Don't shoot! He'll kill me!
Jack tugged backward, making the man walk with him. He'd chosen his spot deliberately. A thick tangle of brush butted up against the flat face of the mountain range, and there was no way up for almost 20 feet. Jack was hoping that it would buy him enough time to rejoin Ryan and the others. The gunshots couldn't have gone unnoticed.
What you want with us?
I'm looking for a boy. A Tarragon.
I don't know him.
He came this way. We spent all night out looking for him.
As the other men started to step forward, Jack kept the blade at his hostage's neck and drew the .357 with his free hand. The round passed through the heart of the man nearest him. The others dropped back into hiding.
Oh, blessed sweet lady, be gentle as you take me into your embrace.
You ain't dead yet, just him. Who are you people?
Celts.
Never heard.